The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect that of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And we are back here to Analyze This. Sun is out. It was showery before, but it's now it's just beautiful. And we're glad for the shower, you know. God actually crying and sending down some tears of to wash away all the blood that we've been dealing with here in the territory. Before I go to my second guest in hour number two, I want to do some updates, call some people out in a good way, okay? First of all, I want to give a shout-out to my man, Clifford Graham. We worked together. We did one term together, then he abandoned me, you know. He actually filled my void when I got kicked out in 2012. And then when I came back in after being successful in 2014, we served a term together, and then he went about his business. He sent me a picture with him and Bunny Wheeler. Apparently Bunny was over there, and U.S. Van Dyke, Senator Graham, got a very high-profile family member over there, U.S. Van Dyke. They don't do a New Year's Eve bash over there, so all that stuff. Yeah, big thing. So he sent a picture there. That's number one. Cliff, actually board member Graham, right? WTJX. Tell Julius to call me tomorrow. I know you're good with my brother's workshop bakery and all that stuff, so tell Julius to give me a call. I haven't heard from him for the new year. So tell Julius, give me a call tomorrow so I can rap a little bit for 5 minutes. Let me know what's going on over there on the rack with my brother's workshop, the bakery, and all that good stuff. That's number one. And then number two, right? Over the weekend, my boss sent me a photo, right, of the Miami International Airport. And here's what they said. Today we recognize Lieutenant Ronakwa Russell, the first African-American female U.S. Coast Guard Air Medal recipient, right? And for those of you who ain't figured it out yet, Ronakwa, R-O-N, and last name Russell, you know what that means, right? So we want to give a shout out to Ronnie Russell. You know what we say here in the territory, Ronnie O'Pickney. O'Pickney making us proud, man. So, you know, they gave us the link. And we looked it up here, and they said aviation history was made during Black History Month 2 years ago. This is 2019, when Lieutenant Ronakwa Russell, a native of St. Thomas, U.S. Virgin Islands, became the first African-American female aviator in the Coast Guard to receive the Air Medal, awarded by the U.S. Armed Forces to an individual who distinguishes themselves by heroic or meritorious achievement while participating in aerial flight. Russell received this honor in recognition of her response to Hurricane Harvey, one of the most destructive storms in U.S. history. The first of two ceremonies to honor her achievement took place in Tuskegee, Alabama, Alabama's Moton Field on February 21st. This is the same location where 79 years ago, the first African-American aviators in the U.S. Armed Services broke down racial barriers to earn their wings and later go on to fly several heroic and critical combat missions in World War II. One of these Tuskegee Airmen was Lieutenant Henry E. Rolson, Russell's great uncle and namesake for the International Airport in St. Croix. And there's a whole story here, and we're going to get into it some more. So, Ronnie, set up this thing. I need a date with your daughter here on Analyze This, okay? It's a platonic date. Of course, you know, we're going to talk and all that stuff, you know, say, make that clear. We need to get this big shot on, and we'd appreciate that, okay? And congratulations, Ronnie. And, of course, most definitely congratulations to Ronakwa Russell. And, by the way, Russell is currently stationed at the Coast Guard's Air Station Miami at Miami Opa-locka Executive Airport as an aircraft commander and flight safety officer. She is a 2012 graduate of the Coast Guard Academy and a 2006 graduate of Ivana Udurakin High School in St. Thomas, U.S. Virgin Islands. That's out there in the east. They'll call it Nazareth, out there heading towards Red Hook. So, you know, I'm smiling. I like this, man. Ronnie, I hope you're listening. know what I'm saying? You deserve this. And shout out to your daughter for, you know, making the Virgin Islands big and all that stuff, okay? So, a little homework to make us feel good about ourselves while we're going through this bad period here on St. Croix. Miss Sonia Nahardin, how are you?
Good morning, I'm fine.
Kane Roots Art Gallery owner, good to have you back. You were on in December, right?
I think so.
When you opened the gallery, around what time that was? That was like
in December. I think I was on in December.
That was December. Yeah, we went there the Thursday, yeah. And you came on the Friday morning. How you been?
I've been great.
Okay, good. Happy March, not Happy New Year. Happy March, because you know January and February already gone.
Yeah, happy March. It's been good.
Okay, how's the gallery making out?
It's been making out okay. I think when anyone is starting out a business, it's a slow process in terms of, one, location, people realizing that you're here, because you and I have discussed before, this end of the town has been blighted, except for the church and Joe the Tailor and Miss Lucy and Samson House on the corner. I think this has been neglected for such a long time. So for people to actually look, sometimes people are driving and they go, oh, something is there. They kind of take a look and traffic is moving, so they've got to keep moving on. So just visually, people getting to know that we're actually here is going to take a little bit of time. But I'm a very patient person.
Well, you know, when you got patience, a lot of people can't deal with that. Eventually, you wear them down with just looking at them or just being there and not going anywhere. People tend to say, you know something, I got to take a look. So
that's true. And I think with my background in education and working with young children, it requires a lot of patience. So I've got a good 30 years under my belt with being patient.
Okay, that's good. That's good. And for those of you who don't know, Kane Roots Art Gallery is located towards the end of Company Street. It is right where Company Street is about to meet Market Street here in Christiansted, and you're heading in a westerly direction coming out of downtown Christiansted. You pass the Holy Cross Catholic Church on the left-hand side. You go down a little bit more towards the end of the block, and you'll see the Kane Roots Art Gallery on your left-hand side as you work your way out of Christiansted. Now, we spoke about your background. Guyana?
Yes, I was born in Guyana.
Okay. And you got roots in Guyana, yeah. And Suriname?
Yes.
French
Guyana. My mother is from Suriname, and my dad is from Guyana.
French Guyana.
Dutch.
Dutch.
And that's now called Suriname.
Yeah. French guy, you got French Guyana. It still holds that name,
French,
right?
Yes. Actually, French Guyana.
Still holds that name. Okay, yeah. Suriname is Dutch.
Guyana, which was British Guyana, and Dutch Guyana, which is now Suriname. So their independence, they have different names.
My name Anthony Nesty. Yeah, you heard that name before?
No, I haven't.
Look it up. I give you a little assignment today. Anthony Nesty, a great athlete out of Suriname, won a bronze medal in the Seoul Olympics back in 1988. And as a result of that, he's forever knighted. Just using that terminology, but you know, glorified in Suriname, because he not only won the gold medal, it was a big upset. The swimmer who they thought was going to win it, the favorite, was from America. And out of nowhere comes the Suriname swimmer and snatches that gold medal, Anthony Nesty, back in 1988. Yeah, so that's how I knew about Suriname. I always knew it to be Dutch Guyana, you know what I'm saying? And they said Suriname. I said, wait a minute, where's Suriname? And then I looked, I said, oh, they changed the name. So that was...
A lot of that happens through independence.
Yeah. And that's a good thing. I got to look up what Suriname means. I got to look that up, a lot of stuff. So you migrate to New York and you get into, you get 11 years old?
Yes, I did. I was 11 when we moved to New York City.
So you're a Yankee?
Yes. I you can say that, and it's hard, I think, when you're living in a household with parents who are born somewhere and live there for a long time, and you move to someplace and you straddling two cultures, because now you're going through a culture where you're going to school with American children, and you're adjusting, and you're learning as you move through it all that you're straddling that, and you're doing a lot of code switching. At school, you're sounding one way, and at home, you're sounding another. So it was quite quite a learning to do that. I think now I even still code switch.
I think
you leave, you still have code switching going on.
I like that type of, I like that type of analogy. Women's History Month, important. That's why we have a lot of our guests throughout the month of March are going to be about lady power. You know, that's just my terminology. It's not so much about power, but just influence and leadership. Taking the initiative. You're in the arts business, and we spoke about this the last time you were on. How do we go about getting more people to embrace the arts and realize the value of the arts and how, you know, humanities and all that stuff, how we could allow for the scope to be broadened?
Well, the beautiful start off, I think, of St. Croix is that with such a small population, in terms of, when I say small, I'm talking relative to another island that might have 3 million people.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a really good size of an artist population here. So I think as an impetus, that's a good starting point. It's sort of those very much separated in different places. I think there needs to be more precise development of what can happen with that. I don't want to continue working as an exclusive, so I've already started the process, even though we've made the cover of St. Croix this week, last month, which was really good. Nyaris was featured in there, and I was featured in there. And the first ad for the business is also in the magazine and will continue to be in the magazine. So people will know that King Roots Art Gallery is now in St. Croix. We are on the map. What's nice about being on the map, we're not in a cluster of everything that's artistic, which is in the hub of the top of Company Street. We're on the lower end, so that if somebody's looking as a tourist or other, they will be more inclined to drive down or walk down to see what is happening here. But to get back to my point, to extend what we have or to work in conjunction, one of the things that happened very organically, and that's what I was hoping that would happen, I had a class visit. I had actually 5 classes visit me last week from St. Not last week, a couple of weeks ago from St. Mary's School. And the teacher brought them at different times in small groups of maybe 5 to 8 children adhering to the social distancing. So we were able to bring the classroom to the gallery. So we were able to extend art outside the classroom to a place where they can actually see live, not live, but to see art done by artists and to understand certain terms, like looking at a CV by an artist, looking at their exhibits, their history of how they exhibited, their CV, their artist statement, and actually going to a piece of artwork and looking up to it and seeing how it was created. What did the artist use to create this work? It was really a wonderful experience for me being an educator, but also expanding to the community so the children could actually come in and be a part of the gallery experience. And they were really engaged, I have to tell you, Neville. They were really, really engaged. You could see it in the after effects of the photographs. And by the way, the photographs are up on the website. Actually, and also to this, something else I'll tell you that has developed since we spoke and we interviewed. But you can actually see it by the photographs that documented their visit. And we also had the teacher, Chalice.
We're gonna take a quick break right now. We'll pick that up right there at that point, and we'll also talk about the website, because since you mentioned it, looks like things are heading in the right direction, okay? We'll take a break right now, and we'll come back right after this.
Safety and health is essential. As the owner or manager of an organization or business, how do you keep your workplace safe and employees healthy? Help is available. UVI Safety in Paradise program provides free occupational safety and health audits of workplace hazards and programs. You'll get a free assessment, guidance, and training to help you protect your workers and reduce costs due to accidents and illness. Always confidential, always free. For details, visit safety.uvi.edu.
On Fresh Air, you'll hear from people who really make you think, like astrophysicist Brian Greene explaining the scientific theory that our universe is just one of many.
And the image that I like to have in mind is, imagine that our universe is like one slice of bread in a much grander cosmic loaf, with the other slices of bread being other universes.
No subject is too big for Fresh Air. Join us.
Fresh Air weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. One of my favorite interviews I've ever done was one with a 90-year-old Indian architect, because he taught me something I didn't know, that the key to great architecture is philosophy. It's designing a space where people can feel good and live a better life. That interview reminds me that I want to learn something new in every interview I do, so that you can too. Join me on Here and Now.
Here and Now, weekdays at 2 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
And we are back here and analyze this, and we've got Miss Sonia Nahardeen. I like pronouncing her name. She is the Cane Roots Art Gallery owner here in Christiansted on Company Street, on the west end side of Christiansted. Good morning once again.
Good morning, Neville, again.
Okay, that's
good. I think where we left off, we were talking about the students coming to the gallery.
Correct, and you were talking about
I was headed in the direction of their assignment.
Mm-hmm.
And their teacher, Trellis Bracey, when she brought them to the gallery, she had them have, it was an enrichment field trip, and it was called Taking a Deeper Look at the Paintings. And she created six questions for them, which automatically, when they came into the gallery, allowed them to focus on what specific things they might need to look for. And for example, in the painting Until, what color and what shape does Nyaris Walker use to describe the front of the woman's face? What is your favorite painting? Give me the name of the painting and describe it to me. What do you like about it? Its subject matter, the mood of the painting, or just the colors? So those were things that allowed the students to really dig deeper. And these were fifth graders. They were from fifth to eighth graders. It allowed them to dig deeper into their thought process. And they really, what was very profound about it, which people tend to neglect about young children, they rose to the occasion. We tend to think a lot of times that students can't deliver. That's my experience of how people deal with students. But lo and behold, from whatever level you have a child at, they will rise to the situations once given the tools and the questions and the environment to explore. They will always rise to the occasion. So this is what happened. So we had the questions, and that's exactly what they did. And it was a wonderful experience.
That's good.
So I am looking forward to collaborating with St. Mary's and to any other classroom that wants to come to the gallery during this time of COVID in social distancing. And I also wanted to reach out to parents who are doing stay-at-home assignments, stay-at-home work with their children, to make appointments with me at the gallery to come and do this as an assignment. Also, there's a whole section of education where there's children who do homeschooling. This is a wonderful assignment for associations who do homeschooling to pick up an assignment to come to an art gallery, because it's a requirement to also make sure you're expanding your curriculum, even if you're being homeschooled by your parents, to come out and have activities. So all of this I want to be able to do in the gallery, and it has begun to happen. So there it is. It's happened already.
That's awesome. You were talking about the website?
Yes. The website is www.caneroutsartgallery.com. And it's been flourishing very well. We've put up our store already. You can see artwork for sale. You'll see books for sale. And you will find a new thing that we've started doing in January, which is called Art Over Bush Tea. Art Over Bush Tea is a segment where every 2 weeks we interview artists. And the first one started with Nayara and Shalana Brown. And we've done a Taiwanese-American artist. We've done Jamal Barber, who is a phenomenal printmaker from Atlanta, Georgia. And our most recent interview was Students in the Gallery, The Conversation, which was with Tralis Bracey and Nyaris Walker. So we will continue doing this Art Over Bush Tea. And the segment also begins with me talking about some bush tea that I prepared. The last bush tea that I made on Saturday was with turmeric and hibiscus flowers. So we're bringing in the natural process in terms of gathering around tea here in St. Croix, and tea, bush teas that we might have learned a combination through the rest of the Caribbean, to use as a beginning for the segment. So we break, not only we're not breaking bread together, but in the terms of breaking bread together, we're sharing tea together. So it's a really good thing that we like doing when we start our program.
Okay, that's awesome. And of course, you know, bush tea is one of our trademarks here in the Virgin Islands. So that's a good thing.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. And we need to find ways. I think that every time that we can, as an island, to find ways to make sure we can export that ideology or export the concept, that we keep marketing bush tea in any which way that we can and whatever combination. So I like it very much, and I thought it would be a way, as people tune in to St. Croix as an island and the Virgin Islands as a whole, that bush tea would be a part of it.
Here, looking up my people out of St. Thomas, Jackie Dawson, Jackwell Dawson, she actually is Project Bush Tea, and she started that in the Virgin Islands back in the day. So she's known as the Bush Tea Lady, and she's out of St. Thomas. So she's an agronomist. So you're onto something there. I think we could hook up something there. I really believe that.
Okay
so let me keep that in mind. Now, you're not just into art, you're also into, I don't know if it's indirectly or as a byproduct, development and redevelopment based on the location.
Yeah.
Based on the location of your art gallery, right?
Yes, we talked about that because of where I am at 24, and we're at the end, and I think this block and the block ahead of me where another development has happened with Danny Dieterville. I think we're the only two that has done construction within the past decade in these two blocks. So there's 24 Company Street, and the lot next to me is 25 Company Street, which I am looking forward to developing in 2022.
Well,
so as this moves down the road, I'm hoping that it catches a fire. It catches a fire, and there's a renaissance. This is what we talked about the last time, that there's a renaissance of this whole block going around to the foundation. The foundation has bought the property on the corner the Moorhead property, and you know, you as a Crucian, you will know exactly what I'm talking about.
Not only that, I used to hang out there. I spent 10 years in that area there, man, hanging out.
I've heard there was a club, so that means you were hanging out in that club.
No. I was hanging out in a bar. It was a bar in the gut. We'd play cards, among other things, inside the bar. But we won't get into that this morning.
Okay.
But the reason why I brought that up, though, right, was, you know, as a senator, of course, what happened, right, when I first got elected in 2004, I told the guys, yo, I can't come back here anymore. The people elect me now, I'm an elected official, I can't hang out with that no more. Sorry, don't feel no way, right? So, you know, that was a good time in my life. That was a growth, that was a developmental part of my life. So, but as a senator, Richard Nix, one of my employees, he hit me to a fund, and that's the reason why I brought up the development aspect. There is a fund in the government, right? Title 33, subtitle 3, chapter 111, known as the government funds. And one of the funds is the Virgin Islands Reconstruction and Rehabilitation Revolving Fund, right? I had actually changed the name of it. So I don't know. I see it still has this old name, but we had actually changed the name. I got to check and see if the governor signed into law. We had renamed it the Virgin Islands Historic District Funds, right? Because the purpose of the fund, right, was to provide loans for development and redevelopment in our historic districts. And monies, and I'm reading it right out of the code, monies in the fund shall be disbursed in the form of loans by the Commissioner of Finance at the direction of the Historic Preservation Commission, exclusively to qualified borrowers as approved by the Historic Preservation Commission for design, development, and actual reconstruction of the structures and facilities within the two historic town districts on the island of St. Croix and historical districts in Charlotte Amalie on the island of St. Thomas. 80% of the monies in the fund shall be used for the island district of St. Croix, 20% for the historic districts in St. Thomas. Interest rate on the loan shall be at a rate not more than 4% annum, and the maximum life of such a loan shall be not more than 30 years. Of course, you know, Cruz Bay has now been designated as a historic district as well. But the reason why I brought this up was that there are vehicles in place for developers and business people like yourself. If in fact reconstruction is in your future, and you're talking about 2022, so I just wanted to, you know, be a conduit here today and let you know that there are mechanisms outside of what you probably already know, but internally within the government to make monies available for people like yourself as it relates to reconstruction and redevelopment?
I think it's a hard process, and I'm not going to call names.
Mm-hmm.
I remembered when I bought this fully, this building was bought totally in cash, and the two properties, there's no mortgage on it, and I went to a bank with a very solid background in terms of my own monies and wanting to do construction on the building. The loan officer held up my loan for 6 months, Neville. 6 months.
It's a private sector or the government?
No, not the government. It was the bank here. But
bank
I need
here.
To say it anyway.
Yeah. No, say it. Say it, yeah.
So I'm not going to call the bank's name.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you need this paper today. You need this package. So I gave him the package. Then you need this. Then you need that. Then finally he's going to tell me after 6 months that it could not be approved. I was really annoyed because I automatically had to compare this to going through a process of a loan in New York. No bank would hold you up for 6 months in New York, letting you think that you're going to get the loan. They either know you're going to get it and they're going to work with you,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to move along, not tie you up for 6 months.
Yeah, I know.
This bank had everything going for me. And then it made me question, another piece that made me question, when a bank is coming from another island or another place, what is their real commitment to this island?
Mm-hmm.
So if your house of banking is in Puerto Rico, do you really have a commitment to the people in the Virgin Islands, except loaning them money for a car?
Wow. Wow. That's a heavy statement.
No, it is. It's a very heavy statement.
And legitimate.
How much are you really committed?
Well, you know something? Last week, Saturday, I saw a banking executive. She's a local. And she's going to be on the show next week sometime. And we're going to talk about this concern, because it's legitimate. And we're actually trying to get both of them on, because they were on before last year in May. Because the process should not be as you just articulated. It really shouldn't be. If you're not going to give me the loan, just let me know up front. Don't tie me up for half a year and in the process, because time is money. And
Yes, time is money. Time is money. Mm-hmm. And I eventually had to, you know, complete the project in a different way. I had to complete the project on my own.
Mm-hmm.
It was a hard process. It was a lot that I had to learn between being a female, dealing with male contractors, learning about a lot of do-overs. Okay, that wasn't done right. Okay, this person didn't put a truck, so this is why I'm getting the odor. So there are a lot of things that I've had to learn about construction myself, being a woman. So I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot about doing this building. So moving forward, I really know how to proceed with the next project. But it's been some tough lessons, really tough lessons along the way.
I know. You're not the only one, you know. That's the sad part about it. But that's on the private side. We do have mechanisms in place on the public side. And, you know,
the public side, sometimes, I have to say, it gets a little bit lost, too.
Yeah, well, bureaucracy is a concern. I agree with that 100%. But at least there is another avenue. And, you know, we're not limited. You know, once you're limited, then that's a whole different ballgame. We're not limited. And like I said, you know, I need to find out, do some more research as to the fund that I just referenced. If what's the balance? Is there money in it? And how do we go about accessing the Historic Preservation Commission? Because that part of town, as a matter of fact, you go down a little bit more past your building, there's a big building on the left-hand side right on the corner of Market Street and Strand and Company Street, at the actual corner itself, that has been there for a long, long time, that needs significant rehabilitation and reinvestment.
No, on the right, on the left of me, on my side, or across from me?
No,
the Moorhead Building.
Not the Moorhead Building. After we pass you, on the same side, where people hang out underneath.
That has been a disaster.
Yeah, man.
I've had to put up plywood over the years so they don't keep throwing the garbage.
Yeah.
I've had to cut down the shrub, the big tree growing on that person's property, so it looks clear. I've had to maintain their wild growth to make it look, so when you're driving down Company Street, it looks clearer. So I think people need to make up. And even if you have property here in town, drive by your property, see what's happening. Even if you're living in Shoy's or you're living in another exclusive part, wherever you're living, but you still have property in town and you want to hold on to it, drive by and see what. Don't tell me that it's yours and you're happy and you don't want to sell it off. Sure, you don't want to sell it off, but how about cleaning it up? How about putting a coat of paint on in the front of it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what we need to. We need to get our towns back to where people want to live in towns. That's what makes towns attractive, you know. I learned that in my very first term, going to different conferences. They said, you want to get towns to maximum level, get it to the point where people want to live there. And once you see that happening, you'll see, you know, the renaissance that has taken place in a number of different cities on the mainland. And the same thing applies here in the Virgin Islands. You know, we get our towns back to where people want to live there, and not everybody wants to live in the country. You'll see how vibrant your towns could be as well. We got Miss Sonjana Hardeen, owner of the Cane Roots Art Gallery. We're talking about art and development We'll take our final break and we'll be back right after this.
Resolutions. New financial plan. At Bank of St. Croix, we offer a suite of consumer and business services, including home and auto loans. With online banking, you can bank with us from anywhere 24/7. Bank of St. Croix has two locations, one in Gallows Bay, 340-773-8500, and one in Peters Rest, 340-713-8500. Bank of St. Croix. Bankofstcroix.com.
This is June, 65 years young and a proud grandmother. I've been listening to the news and paying attention on how the coronavirus is affecting our islands and families. I just found out the vaccine is here and now available to seniors like me. I called 340-777-8227 and gave the operator some information. She was a real sweetheart. And she gave me an appointment for near my house. My granddaughter, Tara, is taking me this week. So, help me spread the word. Let your folks know signing up for the shot was quick, easy, and it saved lives. Choose to be a part of the solution. Make this your best shot against COVID-19. Get the vaccines.
Presented by the Office of the Governor, FITEMA, and the Department of Health.
And we're back at the final segment here of Analyze This. First Wednesday in March 2021, we got Miss Sonia Nahardin, Keen Roots Art Gallery here in downtown Christiansted. So, Miss Nahardin, you've been in business, what, as relates to the gallery, what, 3-4 months now?
Yes, absolutely.
And you feel good about the perspectives?
Yes, I do. I really do. I think having watched my own mentor, which was Essie Green in New York, do handle and manage and have sales in an art gallery and reach out to people and the social dynamic of it, I am well prepared to be all in it. So it's going to happen and it is happening and it will continue to happen. A business takes time to grow. Anyone who's starting a business needs to know that. It takes time to grow, and this is what is going to happen with Kane Roots Art Gallery.
And I see
in the time of COVID, I think, and with anyone who's listening in, you'll have to find, you're going to really have to push your business out into the social networking of it, making sure you post, making sure you have an online store, trying to get the new technology to make a business run and to be advertised. So it's good that I'm now in the St. Croix this week, making sure that I'm continuing with Art Over Bush Tea and having that out as a segment online, because people will go to www.caneroots.gallery.com to actually see the segment of Cane Roots Over Bush, Art Over Bush Tea.
And you are big on getting the young people involved.
Oh, absolutely. I'm big on getting the young people involved. And what I want to see develop from this art gallery also is a salon of artists visiting. I'd like to have something where every 2 months or every month, artists get together as a group and to discuss things that are going on for them.
That's
interesting. So that's something I plan to... I've spoken to a few people about it. I've spoken to Elwin Joseph about it, and that's something that he said he's also wanted to... see happen. So I want to put that in action at least, I would say, by the summer to the beginning of September to make sure that we can get a salon, a meeting of artists starting here in the gallery.
Right now we're dealing with the pandemic, and you know, the schools are now just starting to, you know, reassimilate how life used to be, at least on a lower level right now. As we continue to go through this transition, and we finally achieve whatever the new normal is via herd immunity, you see that actually helping your business and your dreams as it relates to the gallery?
Yes, I see it will, it could. If things begin to normalize within the schools, other schools, there can be, if there's availability for a classroom or a smaller art class to come and visit, it's possible. Is it possible for more people to come through? There seems to be more people getting off those planes every day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible for more people to visit the gallery. I don't keep the gallery due to the pandemic. I don't keep the gallery open every day. The gallery is open Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday from 12 to 5, and by appointment only. So if you want to call me and say, I want to come into the gallery on Monday to see what you have, then you're able to do that. So it's about being very creative in terms of time and space within the pandemic. But I'm not concerned. I'm not really concerned. It's so funny. I'm not concerned. I told you in the last segment that we did, I'm a firm believer in making the leap. You leap and the net will appear. So I've never been worried about decisions that I've made. I don't have sleepless nights over those things. I'm very confident. When I make decisions, I'm very confident that things come to me, things are provided for me. I'm a strong believer that when I've made a decision, when I've done my vision board, that it actually does happen.
I like this confidence right here. www.canerootsartgallery.com. The actual gallery is located 24 Company Street, right?
Absolutely. Neville, I wanted to bring something up to you.
Go right ahead.
So now I'm looking at a building director because I came in today to the gallery to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at a building across the street from me. 3 years ago, this person wanted $75,000 for this building. I saw them the other day putting up a sign. So I said, oh, you're going to have it for sale. It's going to be handled by REMAX. I said, how much are you going to have the building for? What's the sale price?
$380,000.
$380,000. So we've gone from $75,000 to $380,000 in 3 years for a sale of a building.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in terms, you're saying to yourself, okay, the rehab for that has got to take another $400,000 if you're trying to put something on the top or you're trying to redo the whole bottom. How are we talking again, unless we're talking about the person trying to get through the enterprise zone or historic district funding, how are you going to make this happen? Even if we talk about a woman doing the project as Women's History Month, how are we going to make things possible for the Renaissance to take place when, I don't know, for me personally, that's like price gouging in terms of real estate. And, you know, somebody could be saying, you know, what's she talking about? You know, that's how it works, you know, relatively speaking. If he's asking $380 because the person down at the corner across the church is asking $625, and across from Benfix, they're asking $457. It's all relative. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens, who buys, and what happens in this Renaissance.
Mm-hmm. That's very, very important. Not just people spending money, but who is spending that money.
Yeah.
Wow.
And how long it might sit on the market, because also, you know, you might put up a price and it also might sit on the market.
Mm-hmm.
But also, too, I look at real estate a lot. there isn't a week that goes by that I don't look at real estate to see how prices are changing and how it's moving. Let me tell you something, Neville. Be very clear, and the listening audience needs to be very clear. Look at the market. Most of the sales in St. Croix, a lot of it's suspending.
Yeah.
And the inventory is being sucked up.
Yeah, we got to keep an eye on that.
Yeah, so if you have a piece of land, make sure you hold on to your land, you pay your taxes, you build your cistern, you put up your walls, you know, you make it happen. But because you want to create a situation where there is some equity, where there's some way that when you're going in, that there's a balance in that equity in terms of ownership.
Well, you know, one of the things we do here when we start the show every day is we look at the financial side of what we're going. I mean, we're going through a pandemic, so we do our local COVID numbers, but we also keep an eye on the financial side, particularly investments. So you're talking about, and that's national and global investment we're talking about. You're talking about keeping an eye on the local investment and reinvestment, because it really is about who really cares about the Virgin Islands, not just buying a property to say they have equity. It's about buying a property to make the Virgin Islands and St. Croix better.
Yeah, because look, I was just listening in before, and I heard a piece where the floating restaurant, it was 3-0.
Floating restaurant.
There was some sort of...
Oh, yeah, yes.
So who was that company with the floating restaurant? I don't think it was something a Virgin Island company. I think it was probably some foreign company probably wanting to do a floating restaurant. I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you say to yourself, you have to look at those kinds of things when companies are coming in. Are they looking to buy up everything? And in terms of the equity, what is the local investment? Finding ways for Virgin Islands to be able to be in a position to be able to purchase and to have businesses themselves.
No, that's, like I said, absolutely legitimate concern with respect to development, investment, and, you know, got to keep an eye on everything because you're never going to, before you know it, you could be way behind the eight ball by the time you catch up to what's going on. Of course, you know, we got a situation where we're looking at, like I said, that hotel on the key there. You know, that's the Virgin, the Virgin Islands Jockey Club.
Yes.
That's the actual name. That you know, that's the next one. You know, that's the next. We really got to stay on top of things, and I like the fact that we have somebody in common. I know he always paying attention to the marketplace. That I know, and so I know we're hanging out with him. You definitely got to keep your antenna up in terms of investment. So I know you'll be on top of things in that regard. So let's just hope for the best. I wish you well with the Cane Roots Art Gallery. That's what I say, right? Cane Roots Art Gallery.
Oh yeah. We're moving in the right direction. We're here, and we'd love for, you know, people to come in to visit, make a phone call, call us. We're here at 340-718-4929.
Mm-hmm.
Call to make an appointment, and we're happy. We have a new exhibit starting on Friday. We have a new show going up by an artist called Bai. We've been friends for a long time. He's from New York, and we're having his show, his opening exhibit. It's Friday from 4 to 7. I look forward to seeing you, Neville, if you can come by.
What's the time again?
4 to 7.
And Thursday or Friday?
It's on Friday.
Friday afternoon. That's March 5th.
Yes, March 5th.
Okay, good. I'll try my best to work my way through.
So you and I can see each other before we go to our local
hangout. That's right.
That's right.
And I want to thank Zoe for you know, making this appearance available and happen, and look forward to speaking with you again. We're doing this thing periodically, so December, March, it looks like sometime in June we talk again, somewhere around there.
Yeah, absolutely. I really look forward
to it. Okay, and I'll be doing my research. As a matter of fact, you know, while we were talking, we did pass the amendment to change the name of the the fun, and it's now the Virgin Islands, reconstruction and rehabilitation revolving fund. So we're gonna work on that and see. I'm gonna try to find out if there's a balance and what's the deal and what's the deal with the historic preservation commission and all that stuff. Okay. I can help you and help other businesses in our historic districts in Christiansted, Frederickstead, Charles Damali, and Cruz Bay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and we have to continue to share information.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Neville.
You got it. Thank you for making yourself available and continue success with the Cane Roots Art Gallery there in Christiansted, 24 Company Street, everybody. Pass by or make that phone call to, or go on the website, get the phone number, and make that phone call to make an appointment. Okay?
All right, Neville. See you Friday.
Okay, good. For sure. Take care. That's Miss Sonia Nahardin, owner of the Cane Roots Art Gallery here in Christiansted. And the fund that I was referencing, was an amendment that I had sponsored to change the name, because even though we didn't change the percentages as relates to monies available, it's at 80-20 for St. Croix and 20 for St. Thomas and St. John. And of course, now that people hear that, they can probably want to amend that as well. Which, yeah, I understand that. You know what I mean? Of course, that's one of the rare instances where St. Croix will gain more, but that was because of the historic nature of Christiansted and Frederickstead. But Charles Tamale, up street, down street, that whole area there as well. And I'll reach out to Miss Nadie Machina to find out how we could, what's the deal with the historic preservation, what contact she might have with them, because she's at the Economic Development Authority. And of course, St. John, Cruz Bay. Another article that we had found here on the back in 2017, Cruz Bay in October of 2016 was designated as a National Historic District in October of 2016. So they are eligible as well. Okay, so need to find out what's the balance in that fund. Get with the Department of Finance. The Historic Preservation Office, could help us out in that regard. And then we try to help these local businesses, because people are taking the plunge. They want to invest in our towns. And like I said, we get our towns up. And I had a conversation with Diane Russell, her Ronnie nephew, Eddie Data. She's a lawyer and a tremendous flautist. All of them is got big brain and like to play music. If it's a Russell, you got big brain and you like to play music, right? And she had recommended to me some legislation that they had adopted in Washington, D.C. as relates to derelict buildings. And, sometimes you got to take the initiative, man. I know that term, when people hear eminent domain, they don't get a little frightened. But sometimes you go do that to protect, the eyesores, man. Protect us from the eyesores, I don't really want to go that route. Because it's this America, but sometimes you gotta do that, man. We got parts of Christiansted and Frederickstead, ain't happening. And the reason why it ain't happening is because derelict owners. I gonna call it like it is, and we got to see what we could do. And this is 5 years, then 10 years, then 20, some instances 30. I know you got probate issues with families and all that stuff, but come on now. Don't be holding us hostage, man. Christiansted deserve better, in particular the Market Street area where the St. Croix Foundation take over the Alexander Building as an entity and reinvest in that area. We got to do better than that, okay? We really got to do better than that. So let me figure out how we going to make this one work for the Virgin Islands. Not just Christiansted and Frederickstead, but the entire Virgin Islands, Charles Tamale, Cruz Bay. I got a soft spot for Cruz Bay. When I get on a boat and I get on Cruz Bay, it's like a whole different mindset. So, great show today. Thank you, Miss Yvonne Peterson from the DD, the Virgin Islands Developmental Disabilities Councils, Inc. Sonia Nahardin, Cane Roots Art Gallery. TJ, behind the boards. It's all good. And Julius. Tomorrow, we got a conversation, a little 5 minutes. Let me know what's going on with the bakery, okay? And all that good stuff. And Ronnie, congrats again with Renokwa, okay? Tell her Neville say hello. Talk to you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect that of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.